The Oscar goes to...
And 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 the Oscar goes to...
The Film Show presents the Oscar special on URN.
Welcome to the URN Film Show Oscar Special for the 88th Academy Awards. I'm Alessandra.
I'm Osana.
I'm Josh.
I'm Tom.
And the ceremony doesn't start for a whole 7.5 hours. It's 1:30 a.m. English time. So, are any of you staying up for it?
Yeah. Did my best.
Yeah.
Wow, braver than me. But don't worry, because we're here for the next 2 hours and we've got all the Oscars chat that you need. We're going to be discussing each of the Best Picture nominees: Brooklyn, Bridge of Spies, The Martian, Mad Max Fury Road, Room, The Big Short, Spotlight and The Revenant. Stay tuned to find out what we thought of them and how we think they'll do later tonight. Right now, though, let's discuss some of the nominees from the big categories whose films have not been nominated for Best Picture. So the Best Picture nominees we're going to be talking about later. But to begin, actor in a supporting role. So as well as Mark Ruffalo for Spotlight, Christian Bale for The Big Short, Tom Hardy for The Revenant, and Mark Rylance for Bridge of Spies, Sylvester Stallone is up for Creed, and Creed is not nominated for any of the other big categories, I don't believe. He's the bookie's favourite, and it's quite remarkable because he was nominated for the exact same role 40 years ago for Rocky in 76, which is kind of amazing. And that's one of the reasons that he won the Razzie Redeem Award last night. For anyone who doesn't know, the Razzies are the anti-Oscars, so it's for supposedly the worst films in Hollywood. It's the worst best-known films in Hollywood.
Yeah, most high-profile ones.
Yeah. Masani, you saw Creed. What did you think of it? What did you think of Sylvester Stallone in it?
I thought Sylvester Stallone was excellent in the film, and I think he will win tonight because the Academy, it's not strange for them to give the award to an actor as a...
An established actor who I think now deserves recognition.
As recognizing the whole body of work rather than this particular performance. They've done it with Al Pacino. They're going to, arguably, you could say that they're going to do it with DiCaprio tonight because he has had better performances.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that later with The Revenant.
And with Sylvester Stallone, I think, because he may just never get a shot again because, this is the only character he's ever been nominated for, and twice. So whereas the other guys, especially like Mark Rylance, who's pretty new to the world of cinema because he's primarily a stage actor, they're going to be around for a long time making films, so they're going to have a lot more opportunities, but Sylvester Stallone may not, and therefore I think he will win.
Yeah, I think if there is a contender to beat him, it is Mark Rylance, because he won at the BAFTAs and things. He's been really praised for Bridge of Spies, but Sylvester Stallone is going to take home the prize for actor in a supporting role. Let's talk about actress in a supporting role. So Rachel McAdams is nominated for Spotlight and Rooney Mara for Carol. We're going to be talking about Carol later. It's not nominated for Best Picture, but it did get 6 nominations, so we thought we'd devote some time to it. Yeah, but apart from that, there's Jennifer Jason Leigh in The Hateful Eight, Kate Winslet for Steve Jobs, and Alicia Vikander in The Danish Girl. Jennifer Jason Leigh, not likely to win at all. The Hateful Eight hasn't done very well at all in the Oscars. It's only nominated here for cinematography and score. Tom, what did you think of The Hateful Eight?
As a film, I liked it. She's an interesting role in that it's going to sound really weird to say, but you sort of forget that she's an actress rather than because you forget that obviously all the others are actors. It's almost just like they're all horrible monster people. And so I guess to that end, she was very successful in it. They're all very irredeemable characters. So she doesn't necessarily stand out, but she's good enough to not stand out for being bad.
I think I would agree with that. Alicia Vikander is the second favourite favourite to win, with Kate Winslet just behind. There's a bit of kind of debate with supporting and lead for this stuff. So Alicia Vikander, I think, is a lead actress in The Danish Girl rather than a supporting actress. Yeah. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably you get every year, and there's a fair bit of claim to say, why don't I just scrap almost the supporting character categories altogether, because it's the same thing with Rooney Mara. I think if anything she probably has slightly more screen time than Kate Blanchett, which again, like Alicia Vikander, is in supporting because I guess studio campaigns think there's more of a chance they'll win if you put a supporting actor, which is clearly a leading role, in that category instead. But Alicia Vikander is probably most likely to win this one.
Yeah, it's one of those things where if you seem like a lead actress but you're nominated for supporting, maybe you'll just win, because Alicia Vikander, she was nominated for Best Actress at the Golden Globe and the BAFTAs. and as a supporting actress for Ex Machina.
Yeah.
And she lost to Brie Larson for lead actress, obviously, in both those categories, and she lost to Kate Winslet in the supporting category. So that would suggest that Kate Winslet is the best supporting actress this year, don't you think?
Kind of. I mean, Kate Winslet's been a bit of a surprise. I mean, everybody kind of expected she would be nominated because she does give a tremendous performance. But she won fairly recently. It was only back in 2009. And it's not the kind of performance, I think, which is as grabby as something like Alicia Vikander's in The Danish Girl. Interestingly, because with Ex Machina, I think if Alicia Vikander had been nominated for lead actress for Danish Girl, she probably would have got supporting actress for Ex Machina, and probably would have been guaranteed a win in that case, because I don't think they'd want to give her at least one of the two. And if Brie Larson will win lead actress, odds are she'd probably have won for Ex Machina if she'd got that instead.
Any more thoughts on actress in a supporting role? Let's move on to actor in a leading role then. So as well as Matt Damon in The Martian and Leonardo DiCaprio in The Revenant, both of whom we're going to be talking about later, there's Bryan Cranston for Trumbo. It's the only nomination for Trumbo. Mosana, you've seen Trumbo. Yeah. What did you think of Bryan Cranston in Trumbo?
Bryan Cranston is very good, but I think the only reason he's been nominated is because of the sort of character he's playing, which is like, historically, if you look at the what sort of roles get nominated is for playing real life people, these sort of mad geniuses, true stories, you know, historically true, and this one's just related to Hollywood as well.
Yeah, I thought it was surprising it didn't get more nominations because it's about the business,
just like Birdman got everything last year. And I think Trumbo was nominated more for what it's about rather than his actual performance.
Fair enough.
He was very good, so I feel, it's not a bad thing.
I feel he could win. I kind of want him to rather than Leo, but I feel he could win it purely because they couldn't give him an award for Breaking Bad, and so that would do it. Yeah.
I think it would be a surprise, because he's also up against Michael Fassbender for Steve Jobs. Again, Kate Winslet in supporting actress and Michael Fassbender in lead actor are the only nominations for Steve Jobs. Is that surprising?
I was astonished that Aaron Sorkin didn't get a nod for his screenplay. I mean, even people who don't like it can at least appreciate how much craft there is, not just in the dialogue, but the structure of the film. I think it's a much better film than the Oscars, its nominations would suggest. I think it deserves far more attention.
Yeah, I think the original score also deserved a nomination because they did a great job at making a score that is appropriate for all three decades of that story encompasses. Was it decades? Well, three time periods.
The three,
it's a really interesting structure for a biopic, and I wish more things kind of followed that kind of innovation in it.
Yeah, also, Aaron Sorkin is exactly the type of person that the Academy just loves, and you would really expect him to have a showing. But yeah, just Kate and Michael. my good friends, Kate and Michael. They're also up against Eddie Redmayne for The Danish Girl again, which also has nominations for costume and production design. Danish Girl, do you think it was expecting more recognition at the awards in award season?
Absolutely. I mean, that is another film which just ticks all the boxes of what typically appeals to the Academy. So it's just pure Oscar bait.
Yeah.
And I think it definitely expected more, but
notably, it'd be quite funny if Eddie Redmayne won in that category because he won a Razzie for Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah.
And I think the only person to get nominated for both in the same year before is Sandra Bullock.
Tom Cruise
to win in the same year.
Halle Berry.
Tom Cruise for Rain Man and Cocktail.
Halle Berry won, and she went on stage with her Oscar and collected the Razzie, and she thanked Warner Brothers for putting them in this terrible film, Catwoman.
Amazing. Okay, then let's move on to actress in a leading role. So the ones from the big hitters are Kate Blanchett from Carol, Saoirse Ronan from Brooklyn, Brie Larson from Room. Stay tuned to hear what we think about all of those performances later. But they are up against Charlotte Rampling for 45 Years. Tom, you really liked 45 Years when it first came out.
I was all on board as well for her getting the award, and then I think she may have shot herself in the foot over the remarks she made.
Yeah, she kind of scuppered her chances by saying that the diversity row was racist to white people, which she then apologised for and she's expressed regret about. If you want to hear more about the Oscars diversity row, by the way, The Popular Table discussed it earlier today, and you can find the podcast for that on audioboom.com/URNspeech. But yeah, you were saying before the show that she might be a dark horse for the actress in a leading role.
I think those kind of roles, the sort of role she's playing in the film is quite reactive, and so they tend to get praised as much as the ones that are acting outwards by, but with people going, you know, no one's talking about them, so they end up talking about them just as much. But I definitely think she's got a chance. Maybe
she's also against Jennifer Lawrence for Joy. Your yes. strong feelings about Joy as well.
I do, but I don't think Jennifer Lawrence deserves anything for Joy.
Oh, fair enough. She's also an Academy
No one's outstanding.
Darling. It
would
be bizarre if she got more wins.
She's like Meryl Streep. She'll just be in a film and she's going to be nominated.
So let's talk about original screenplay, because this is another one that's got some that I think have been woefully disregarded in the big categories. Spotlight and Bridge of Spies are nominated, but so is Ex Machina, which is one of my favourite films of the years. It's
ever, by the sounds of it.
It's got no chance of winning at all. What did you guys think of Ex Machina?
It was terrific, largely due to the screenplay and the performances. Very well-constructed film.
Yeah, the script was so strong. Yeah,
it's a genius film. I'd like to think it has a vague chance, but I don't know. Screenplay categories are not the most interesting ones of the whole show. You see, they really do go for some slightly weirder choices now and then. I didn't think anybody had seen Ex Machina in Hollywood, so I was glad that, you know, it actually was going to do a bit of a showing.
Yeah, it's actually quite an indie-spirited film. It's lucky to get what it's got, I suppose, but yeah, I would like it if it won. It's got... Is it the shortest or the longest odds if it's the least likely to win?
Really?
I don't gamble.
Longest.
It's got the longest odds.
Might have the underdog thing going for it, though. People might like to nominate something a bit surprising and a little bit smaller like that.
Yeah, trying to be pretentious and be like, look at this cool film that
I'm Why did you look at me when you said pretentious?
Ex Machina is up against Straight Outta Compton, which, Masana, you saw. Yeah. What did you think of the screenplay?
This was an excellent screenplay, because you would think that the scope of which the film encompasses, it encompasses the entire story of NWA, and you would have thought it was based on a book, but because of how much detail there is in and like, I think it's all just based on interviews with the cast and crew, the former members of NWA, and as a result they've crafted a terrific screenplay that doesn't feel too stereotypical, or it doesn't feel too it's quite subtle as well, so I think this deserved the nomination.
Do you think it might
I would love it if it won.
Do you think it might get a kind of reactionary vote in the wake of the diversity row? Just be like, oh, it's got some people of colour in, we'll vote for that one to win whatever it's nominated for. Do you think that could happen?
Well, apparently the cast of Straight Outta Compton weren't invited to the awards ceremony.
Probably not a winner then.
Yeah. Well, so that hadn't even occurred to you, but now you say it, I could really see that happening.
It's also up against Inside Out, which I think is one of my favourite films of the year.
I think if the writers of Straight Outta Compton won, then they could go to the stage and make a point of this.
Yeah, that's true. And, well, there's bound to be so much about it. Like I said, check out the popular table for full discussion on that, because we're just talking about the nominees. It's just films here on the film show. It's not politics. But Inside Out, one of my favourite films of the last year, and an excellent screenplay. It's so innovative.
Yeah. It's absolutely ingenious. It's almost a shame that Spotlight is as good as it is, because, as to my knowledge, no animated movie has ever won a screenplay award, and I think Inside Out is maybe the smartest and the craziest one there's been in years and years. And I think it'd be a fantastic way just to respect that, I think, if they gave it the gong this year.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I mean, it's surely going to win Best Animated Feature, but I would like to see the screenplay recognised because it was so smart and well researched, I think. Let's talk about... So that's all of the strange outliers done now, the ones that weren't nominated in the Big Five. Let's talk about Carol, which doesn't have a Best Picture nominee, but does have 6 nominations in total. It's got the most nominations to not be nominated for Best Picture. It's weird because they haven't used their full 10 this year.
Well, it works by... I used to know how the voting thing works. I've since forgotten. It's not they don't just choose, we're going to do 8 this year.
No, you
or
have
nine
to get a certain number
yeah.
of votes to qualify for the shortlist.
But I reckon they should change it. They just keep filling it out until there are 10, because a lot of people don't know how it works, and they do just think, why not just do 10? Why not? So you could nominate Carol.
Yeah, and then
Creed
once they get nominated, they're more likely to get watched by the Academy,
exactly.
And then you might get some more interesting winners. But yeah, let's talk about Carol. We've got a quick little package, a clip and discussion on it.
Director Todd Haynes manages to craft a rare gem with his 6th directional feature. Carol is a sumptuous period adaptation that still carries relevance today. Based on Patricia Highsmith's novel The Price of Salt, the film follows the character of Therese Bellevet, played by Rooney Mara, a shop assistant in 1950s New York. She meets and begins to form an intimate relationship with the eponymous Carol Aird, played by Kate Blanchett. Also starring Sarah Paulson and Kyle Chandler, the film explores the complications of the double taboo of female and queer sexuality in an eerily familiar setting of social conservatism. The heart of the film are its two central characters, and Blanchett and Mara have been the deserved recipients of most of the early awards buzz. Mara, in particular, is probably the film's best shot at winning on Sunday, being one of the favourites in a tight Best Supporting Actress category. Even though there's controversy surrounding the decision not to submit her as a contender for lead. The other nominations for the film are Best Leading Actress for Blanchett, Adapted Screenplay, Cinematography, Original Score and Costume Design, although it's unlikely to win in any of these categories. The film had a lot of early awards steam, including winning the prestigious Palme d'Or and Best Actress for Mara at the Cannes Film Festival, but it seems to have run out of momentum going into the final stretch, having been unsuccessful at winning any category at the Golden Globes, Screen Actors Guild Awards, Directors Guild Awards and the BAFTAs, and missing out on Best Picture and Director nods at the Oscars.
So I'm sure you thought it was a man who sent you back your gloves.
I did. Thought it might have been a man in the ski department.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm delighted. I doubt very much I would have gone to lunch with him.
Oh, your perfume.
Yes.
It's nice.
Thank you. Harge bought me a bottle years ago, before we were married, and I've been wearing it ever since.
Harge is your husband?
Mm-hmm. Well, technically, we're divorcing.
I'm sorry.
Don't be.
So that was Kate Blanchett and Rooney Mara in Carol there. So it's been nominated so much throughout this award season. It was nominated at the BAFTAs and the Golden Globes and various Screen Actors Guild and Writers Guild, all the guilds. But it didn't actually get to win anything. What did you guys think of Carol, Lufana?
I think Carol was a film good enough to have earned the 9th or 10th nomination if they actually did the 10 films. It was really good in pretty much every single micro element of the film, from the cinematography to the performances to the writing. I especially like the 50s look that Todd Haynes went for. It was a nice homage to Douglas Sirk, which is what he always does. But it's what he's best at, so I think that as a reason, Carol succeeds.
Yeah, I have to say, it was one of the earlier films that I saw of the ones we're going to talk about today, and I kind of forgotten it, but it did look fantastic, and it had a great feeling of the times about it. It is also up for Best Cinematography and Costume Design and Original Score, which I guess is all to do with that atmospheric kind of thing, but it's not favourite to win any of them, which is kind of unfortunate.
I think Rooney Mara might stand a chance at the supporting one, but I agree, I think part of the problem might have been pitching it to some of the older members of the Academy, trying to explain it's a love story between these two women in the 1950s. They just might have just turned up their nose at it, sadly. But I know at the beginning, as the narration was saying, it did seem to have a lot of headway going into the awards. Todd Haynes is a very well-respected director, and it has
Kate Blanchett,
big name, Rooney Mara as well. And it looks beautiful just from the trailers. So I'm disappointed it didn't do better.
I have no opinion. No, it's a difficult one.
You didn't like how it came up, if I seem to remember, Tom.
From a technical standpoint, yeah, I just had a problem with kind of the central relationship because I didn't believe it. And so everything else has suffered. And in hindsight, it's kind of tarnishing everything. But as a film on a technical, it's formally fantastic. And Kate Blanchett is good. I just didn't care for Rooney Mara, I think.
Fair enough. I think it is important to note that this, because it's a lesbian love story, that's why we've got the problems with the supporting and the lead. If it was a heterosexual love story, they would both be up for leads. There's no question about it. And do you think that's something that the Academy needs to rethink in terms of how it divides its categories up and the whole supporting lead actress thing?
All the distinctions, I think, are a bit iffy. Sort of male, female actors, and then lead and supporting. They're just people playing roles. And, you know, some of the most famous, iconic, impactful acting in all of cinema is from really brief roles. And yet, sort of, there's the notion that you're relegating it by putting it in supporting.
Yeah.
Because every actor is, in essence, supporting the wider film.
Yeah, I think that adds even more. I think kudos to the idea of creating a general ensemble award. I think it's Mark Kermode especially is very supportive of the idea of, because, yeah, like you said, every actor is supporting the general feel or aim of the thing, and it's foolish in a lot of respects, especially in a film like Spotlight, where there is no lead role. Everybody is one component in that wider story.
Well, Spotlight, I think, did win Best Ensemble Cast at, is it the Screen Actors Guild Award? Yeah. Yeah, I think that there would definitely be scope to maybe just have a massive category, but or maybe divide it into genres a bit more, because I think the Golden Globes are onto a good thing with the way that they divide comedy and musical and drama. If they had more categories, because a comedic performance is not the same as a dramatic performance, if they just had actors and divided it by genre, do you think that would be a better idea?
Well, we could try, but even then there is still that snobbery. I mean, you do look at the Golden Globe Comedy Awards, usually two or one of the actual five films nominated is a comedy. And you look at it and think there are far more actual comedies, which, you know, don't seem like they have the same kind of level of prestige as something like The Martian. And hence, that's why something like Trainwreck doesn't get nominated, because it doesn't look like it deserves to be nominated for anything, even though it is perfect for a comedy category.
Yeah, and got a lot of recognition in other awards because it was a well-written comedy. Mm. So, unfortunately for Carol, it's probably not going to do that well tonight, but it's good that it's been nominated. Let's talk about Brooklyn. In fact, first, let's hear about Brooklyn.
Based on the novel of the same name by Colm Toybean, Brooklyn tells the story of Ailish Lacey, a young girl who leaves her mother and sister in their small Irish hometown to go to America in search of a better life. It is a tender tale of love, life and loss, told in a traditional but grand style, exploring the relationship between Ailish's learned small-town values and her growing personal ambitions. Brooklyn has received high critical acclaim since its momentous premiere at the Sundance Film Festival. It won Best British Film at the BAFTAs, and Saoirse Ronan has been nominated for dozens of acting awards, though she has won only a few, including Best Actress at the British Independent Film Awards, but not at the Golden Globes, BAFTAs or Screen Actors Guild Awards. This trend is likely to continue tonight for Brooklyn, as it has nominations in three categories: Best Picture, Actress in a Leading Role for Ronan, and Adapted Screenplay, but it is not expected to take the top prize in any of them.
I was amazed that someone as clever as you couldn't find proper work at home. I forget what it's like in Ireland. So when your sister wrote to me about you, I said the church would try to help. Anyway, we need Irish girls in Brooklyn.
I wish that I could stop feeling that I want to be an Irish girl in Ireland.
All I can say is that it will pass. Homesickness is like most sicknesses. It'll make you feel wretched, and it'll move on to somebody else.
So, Brooklyn, kicking off our Best Picture nominees. I really loved Brooklyn. I thought it was such a sweet film. I remember when it came out, Masani, you said it was your favourite film so far.
Yeah. I thought Brooklyn was a film so good that the director, John Crowley, may as well retire because he may not make a film as good as this again.
That's a strange way to look at achievements.
It's a wonderful character study that's about family, immigration, employment, and as well as love. And when I watch romance films, I don't find myself, for the lack of a better word, shipping two characters. But I was actively rooting for Ailish to choose Tony over Jim Farrell in this relationship dilemma. And the actors playing Ailish and Tony, Saoirse Ronan and Emery Cohen, were both excellent, especially Saoirse Ronan, who turned in one of my favourite performances of the year, but I don't think she'll win tonight based on her bad luck at the other major award shows.
Yeah, the performances were great in Brooklyn. It felt so real. Yeah. I think that was why it appealed to so many people, because it sounds like quite a boring plot, really. But then it's just, you get so caught up in the emotions of it. I thought it was so well done. But Saoirse Ronan might... She's the second favourite to win after Brie Larson in the lead actress, but Brie Larson is such a cert.
I think she may have won any other year.
Yeah, any other year Saoirse Ronan might have won. And it would be so nice because she's such a young, up-and-coming actress. Yeah. It would be amazing to see her.
As with, I talked about the supporting actors before, like Tom Hardy and Mark Rylance, Saoirse Ronan has a long career ahead of her, so she will win it someday.
Yeah, Brooklyn's a lovely film. That's the best way to describe it, really. It's those things you just... It works so well as a crowd pleaser. Just a very affecting story all round, and you can't feel too bad for Saoirse Ronan. She, you know, she, like as you're saying, this is another thing which just shows another just whole scope of her abilities you just didn't realise before. She's going to be around for a long, long time, and this is a very proud achievement by everybody involved.
Yeah, what about the screenplay? Because Nick Hornby is nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay for this. as well. I thought I actually thought it was so good. I didn't know as I was watching it that that Nick Hornby had done it. Yeah. And then when and I was keeping an eye out for who wrote the screenplay at the credits, because I thought, wow, it's really good. And I love Nick Hornby's books. And so, yeah, it made absolute sense that he'd done it. I thought it was really good.
Yeah. I've never read the original book by Colm Tóibín, but I remember that it was acclaimed, and I even saw it on a list of, like, best historical fiction books. And I think, just without having read the book, I'm going to assume that Nick Hornby did a brilliant job at adapting it, because the result is a fantastic film.
And if he didn't, then I think the film's better than the book, also having not read it. Has ever any of you read Brooklyn the book?
I tried to, but it's like there's only 4 chapters and they're like 75 pages each kind of thing.
Yeah, I saw it in Blackwell's on uni,
yeah.
But I'd already seen the film, and it's the one time in my life when I've gone, nah, don't need to read the book, I've seen the film. Bad habit to get into. So that was Brooklyn. Let's talk about Bridge of Spies. And let's first hear about Bridge of Spies.
Director Steven Spielberg's recent trend of epic dramas set against the backdrop of iconic moments of history continues. Bridge of Spies' true tale of Cold War espionage finds Tom Hanks' lawyer, James Donovan, first defending a Soviet spy on trial and then travelling to the divided Berlin to negotiate a trade for a shot down US pilot. Principally acclaimed for Mark Rylance's performance as the persecuted yet stoic Soviet agent, Bridge of Spies has been nominated for a number of prominent awards but picked up very little. Only Rylance walked away with a BAFTA for Best Supporting Actor, despite the film being nominated in 9 categories. Up for 6 Academy Awards: Best Picture, Supporting Actor for Rylance, Screenplay, Score, Production Design, and Sound Mixing. Will Spielberg's 29th feature continue its pattern of being liked but not loved? Or could its tale of Cold War morality and daring collect the top prize?
We need to know. Don't go Boy Scout on me. We don't have a rule book here.
Your agent, Hoffman, yeah?
Yeah.
German extraction.
Yeah, so?
My name's Donovan. Irish, both sides. Mother and father. I'm Irish. You're German. But what makes us both Americans? Just one thing. One. The rule book. We call it the Constitution, and we agree to the rules, and that's what makes us Americans. It's all that makes us American, so don't tell me there's no rule book, and don't nod at me like that.
Great story. Tom Hanks was perfect for the movie.
Bridge of Spies is well confusing, but Tom Hanks was sick.
So Bridge of Spies is, as well as being up for Best Picture, you've also got actor in a supporting role for Mark Rylance, who we discussed is second after Stallone, but is probably not going to win. Original screenplay by the Coens, and original score, sound mixing, and production design. What did you think of Bridge of Spies, Tom?
I don't know. It was good.
It wasn't a steady film, isn't it?
Yeah. It's very methodical, but is brought alive by Spielberg. I feel that sounds kind of patronising, but I think that's it. I think certain people would have probably kind of beaten it to the ground and made it a bit stodgy, but it's never overbearing, and yet it's not trivialised by it being liked.
I would agree with that. It's Steven Spielberg is good at making films with a heart, no matter what the subject matter, really, and he does that really well in this film.
Yeah. It's really surprising, though, like I said, that it comes from, well, some of the writers of the Coen brothers. It kind of lacks that kind of that bite in a lot of places, but it is work being done by people very effortlessly in command of their crafts. Tom Hanks is very good, nothing hugely special. Spielberg's direction is very good, doesn't blow you away, but it's a very kind of, you kick up your feet and sit back and just, you know what you're getting into. Really enjoyable.
Well, I thought Bridge of Spies is a pretty typical Spielberg drama, which means it's very good and the sort of film that appeals to the Academy with its high production values, historically true story and sentimentalism, and therefore it's up for 6 Oscars. I also disagree with what Josh said about the Coen brothers' script, because I thought this film had good dialogue, and the Coen brothers' stamp was in the first scene with Tom Hanks, where he's talking about this is not my guy, this is your guy.
I agree with that.
And it's not always guaranteed that you're going to have good dialogue if the Coen brothers are writing it, because just take a look at Unbroken, which had no suggestion that it was written by the Coen brothers whatsoever. And I think over the last few years, there seems to be a new benchmark, which is if you can act well across Tom Hanks, you're going to be nominated for awards. It happened to Emma Thompson with Saving Mr. Banks. She got every major award nomination, but except the Oscar, which was
probably
surprising.
Like Mark Rylance.
Bok had Abdi with Captain Phillips, and now Mark Rylance with Bridge of Spies, who was also the best part of Bridge of Spies. However, just like Abdi and Thompson before him, I don't think Rylance will win. I believe his BAFTA victory was partly due to
hometown
advantage,
yeah. As always.
And partly due to the absence of Creed, as I think Sylvester Stallone will win the award tonight for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, that is tipped to win. Again, Bridge of Spies isn't actually favourite for in any of the categories that it's nominated, but I think it's sort of an inevitable Oscars nominee.
Mm. Yeah, because it's typical Spielberg.
Yeah, but it is really, really good. I think if it had been made 10 years ago, it definitely would have won, because it's that sort of film, and now the Academy's in this weird kind of flux where it wants to be a bit more innovative and do slightly more off-the-wall films. We've had a text in from Safian, who asks us, Sylvester Stallone forgot last time to thank his co-stars for his Golden Globe Award, and he is reminded to mention them at the Oscar. Do you reckon he did this on purpose or old age? Bit of an ageist question, Safian. Yeah. Don't be mean. No, I think Sylvester Stallone still got it. He's probably just quite surprised to be nominated because Creed hasn't...
Yeah, they often have such a long list of people to thank that they might not thank everybody. And now this time for the Oscars, they've done the whole ticking... At the bottom, there's going to be a ticker which lists off every single name you want to thank. So
which really takes a bit out of all the stuff out of the moment, isn't it? I mean, I get why they've done it for time reasons, but still, like, the idea of having to send an email saying, should it happen, there's this person, this person, this person.
We'll get more interesting speeches
this time.
It's
probably at the request of winners who've like, oh no, I forgot to thank someone. Yeah. Can I go back?
It's because of the Golden Globes, like stuff like this. Yeah. That's the reason this happened.
I forget, are you allowed to drink at the Golden Globes?
Yeah.
Do you remember when Adele won back in the day? She was absolutely gone when she went upstage.
Well, that may have been why Sylvester Stallone forgot to thank his co-stars. Thank you for your text, Safian. Let's talk about one of my favourite films now.
Room tells the story of a mother and her young son trapped alone in a small room. They're revealed to be hostages of a man who kidnapped the mother when she was a teenager, and she has been raising her son in Room ever since. Everything is seen through the young boy's eyes, from the fantasies his mother had told him about Room and their captor to shield him from the truth of their situation, to her attempts to explain the reality of the world outside and break him out of Room. Room has 4 Oscar nominations: Best Picture, Directing for Leni Abramson, Actress for Leading Role for Brie Larson, and Adapted Screenplay. This is a surprisingly strong showing for a low-budget, indie-spirited film, which many feared would be overlooked at the awards season. Ever since it premiered at the Toronto Film Festival, where it won People's Choice Award, a prize which often goes on to predict future award successes, Room has received universal praise from critics and audiences alike. Whilst Brie Larson is largely expected to receive a deserved win for her portrayal of the mother Joy, many expressed disappointment that her co-star, 7-year-old Jacob Tremblay, did not also get the nod for playing Jack, in a performance which has been cited as one of the best by a child in recent memory.
Do you remember how Alice wasn't always in Wonderland?
She fell down, 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 deep in a hole.
Right, well, I wasn't always in Room. I'm like Alice. I was a little girl named Joy.
Nah.
And I lived in a house with my mom and my dad. You would call them Grandma and Grandpa.
What house?
A house. It was in the world. And there was a backyard, and we had a hammock. And we would swing in the hammock, and we would eat ice cream.
A TV house?
No, Jack, a real house, not TV. Are you even listening to me? When I was a little older, when I was 17... I was walking home from school.
Where was I?
You were still up in heaven. But there was a guy. He pretended that his dog was sick.
What guy?
Old Nick. We call him Old Nick. I don't know what his real name is. But he pretended his dog was sick.
What's the dog's name?
Jack, there wasn't a dog. He was trying to trick me. Okay? There wasn't a dog. Old Nick stole me.
Oh, that's so heartbreaking when you've seen the film.
I'm welling up already.
Nominated for Best Picture, but also Director, Actress in a Leading Role, which Brie Larson is going to win, as I think we may have mentioned earlier in the show, and Adapted Screenplay for Emma Donoghue, and she's second favourite to win after The Big Short, so maybe a dark horse. Brie Larson in that clip, you can tell just how incredible she is. Do you think it's deserved all of the... all of the guaranteed wins that she's getting.
It's the best acting there's been all year for me, and I don't almost mind what happens the rest of the Oscars because I would so thoroughly agree with this choice if she wins it.
Yeah, she won at the BAFTAs and the Golden Globes and the Screen Actors Guild Awards, so that's why there's pretty much no way that she won't win. What about Jacob Tremblay, who played Jack in the clip that you heard just there? He was 7 years old, playing five, and he was got from an open casting. I think his performance is amazing, and I think Lenny Abramson is amazing for directing him to that, but he's not nominated.
I think it's an iffy area because of that kind of balance between acting and sort of getting the child to react that you can't always sort of differentiate. So I don't think it's a travesty when kids aren't nominated, but the performance is solid.
But even Lenny Abramson said that it was a tough shoot and it was difficult to always coax the performance out of him, but he was working with a massive natural talent for Jacob Tremblay. And I don't think you can deny it. I've never seen a film rely this heavily on the child's performance.
Yeah. It's Star Wars Episode One.
Yes, well, on that subject, it's a miracle when you have a child actor who isn't just very, very annoying.
Yeah.
You know, just to have someone who's as good as Jacob Tremblay is incredible. You want
What did you think, Susanna,
of Jacob Tremblay?
Yeah, of the room, of Room in general. Stop calling it The Room.
The Room, yeah. No, let's not confuse them.
There's so much confusion in, like, rent of services. People can be so disappointed when they order the wrong one.
I thought Room was a great drama that's succeeded thanks to fantastic casting choices, Jacob Tremblay in particular. A sure direction by Lenny Abramson. Is it Abramson?
I've heard everyone pronounce it Lenny Abramson.
Abramson. But, yeah. And by letting Emma Donoghue write the screenplay adaptation of her own novel, I think that's important. I think if any of those things weren't on point, the subject matter may have been handled badly. And Brie Larson is the favourite to win, and she deserves to, mostly because she does an excellent job, but a little bit because I feel she deserves it because the Academy didn't recognise her superb work in Short Term 12.
Great movie.
I haven't seen Short Term 12.
It's excellent.
Fantastic.
And Brie Larson is good in it, I take it.
It's a shame they didn't recognise Jacob Tremblay's work in Room, because his performance wasn't just good for a child actor, but it'd be good for any actor.
Yeah, I agree.
And the film could have... It feels like two short films with how different each half is.
Because you've got what happens in Room and then what happens outside of Room.
And I think the film could have fallen apart if one half of the film wasn't as compelling as the other. But it managed to sustain my interest to overall create a moving picture, not just literally, of course.
I really wish that Lenny Abramson would win direction, because I think that he has done more than Alejandro Iñárritu, who we'll talk about when we're talking about The Revenant later on. And when I saw Room, after I came out, my favourite quote was that I overheard from someone was, yeah, that was way better than The Revenant.
The Oscar goes to...
And 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 the Oscar goes to...
The Film Show presents the Oscar special on URN.